the day after Christmas. Joe Roos was riding a bus to the Sojourner's Magazine office in Washington, D.C., where he worked as a publisher. He remembered the warm glow of the community's joyous Christmas Eve service, which ended with the celebration of communion by candlelight. Joe, riding on a relatively empty bus, was missing members of the community who had scattered on Christmas Day to spend time with other family and friends. Joe had stayed behind this year to do some much-needed work. Christmas was over, gifts unwrapped and put away. No more Christmas carols. It was back to regular pop music and NPR news on the radio. Among the only other people on the usually crowded bus were a few developmentally challenged people on their way to jobs in the city. Joe tried to think about the sermon he was about to preach on Sunday about Simeon and Anna, but Joe had trouble gathering his thoughts. The other passengers were chattering excitedly about their Christmas experiences, so Joe decided to listen in. He heard the others tell about the gifts they had given each other, what they had received, what they ate for Christmas dinner, on and on. The conversation died down. A young man in the back started to sing softly. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. One of the women in the front turned and harshly scolded him. Shh, shh, no more singing like that. That's for Christmas. That was yesterday. It's over now. The young man replied gently but firmly, no, no, that's not true. It's only beginning. It's only just beginning. Surprise! Profound truth coming unexpectedly from one of the least of these, a developmentally challenged young man going to his humdrum job on the day after Christmas, sees what few others see. Christmas is not over on December 26. The birth of Jesus is only just the beginning. Here is a simple young man living in a drab and confusing world who becomes a prophet of hope to people in the gray world around him. Where did such sensitive insight come from? How had he learned that Christmas is only just the beginning? Simeon and Anna in Luke's gospel story are a lot like the young man on the bus. True, they are old. This man is young. They live in the first century, we in the 20th and 21st. Their world is relatively simple and unsophisticated. His is a fast-paced, highly technological world. But the worlds of both Simeon and Anna and the young man are full of oppression, violence, and darkness. The developmentally challenged, the poor in Washington, D.C., the modern world's mightiest power center are among the forgotten. Simeon and Anna, old, alone, and poor in first century Jerusalem, are among the oppressed and forgotten of their day. But for Simeon and Anna, as well as for this young man on a bus in Washington, the birth of Jesus is only just the beginning. Each is aware of things about this baby that no one else sees. Each sees a future into which this child will bring great grace, hope, and joy. Simeon comes to the temple. As Mary and Joseph arrive with baby Jesus to dedicate him to the Lord, somehow he is aware of who this child is and the future that he will bring. He takes the child into his own arms and prays to God with praise. This child, O Lord, is your salvation for all people. He will be the light revealing you to the Gentiles who do not know you. He will bring glory to your people, Israel. Simeon sees in this three-month-old infant the Messiah promised long ago by the prophets. He holds in his own arms the one for whom all Israel has longed, hoped, and prayed for so many years. But Simeon also speaks realistic words to Mary about the path that Jesus will need to take in order to offer salvation, light, and glory. He will cause many to fall and to rise. He will be opposed. He will suffer hostility. Mary's own soul will be pierced by what he will suffer. Here's awareness of the suffering and death that Jesus will have to endure for salvation, light, and glory to be released through him. How did such awareness come to Simeon? Then there is Anna, an old woman of 84, or widow for 84 years. Can't you picture her coming into the temple with her skin all wrinkled up? Widowed after only 7 years of marriage, living alone for a long, long time, she appears, begins praising God, and tells everybody within earshot that this child is the one they are looking for, the one who will free and redeem Jerusalem. How did this insight come to Anna? And there is the young disabled man on the bus in Washington. He sang of the Virgin Mother, Mary, child Jesus, holy infant, so tender and mild. And he kept singing that song on the day after Christmas. And he told the woman who tried to shush him up that Christmas is only just the beginning. No matter how dreary his world, in Jesus, better and brighter days are coming. Where did this simple, developmentally challenged young man get that? As I ponder these three, Simeon, Anna, the young man, I see two words coming to me. Solitude and community. First, each of these three must have practiced a solitude of the heart. Life was not easy for any of them. Each experienced human pain, struggle, and brokenness. Simeon looked for the consolation of Israel, Luke says, which means he must have experienced inner desolation. Anna, widowed as a young woman, was wounded by wrenching grief, living alone now for many years. The young man on the bus, limited by his developmental challenges, knew only a life of simple routines repeated over and over. But each chose to live not only in the day-to-day visible world, often troubled. They tuned their hearts and mind to another dimension. They sought to be consciously aware of an unseen but real presence, to a reality we call God, around them and within them. We're told by Luke that the Holy Spirit rested on Simeon. The very presence, love, and grace of God surrounded and filled him. And through the Spirit and the words given to him, Simeon was peering into the future. This is a future now realized for Paul and the believers he writes to in Galatians. God has sent his son, born through a woman, born under the law. We have now been redeemed, freed from the law and its demands, adopted into the family of God. That same Holy Spirit that rested on Simeon now lives in our hearts. Through God's Son, We are daughters and sons of God, joint heirs with his Son. That same Holy Spirit certainly rested on Anna and on the young man at the back of the bus. Each of these three actively cultivated the presence of God in their lives. They communed regularly with God. Simeon, no doubt, read and prayed with the Psalms and the prophets every day. As he allowed the words to sink deep into his heart, they came alive. He heard the voice of God's Spirit within telling him that he would see the promised Messiah before he died. Anna, we're told, worshiped God night and day in the temple, devoting her life to continual fasting and prayer. She turned her aloneness and grief into a solitude with God. And Anna came to know deep in her heart that God would bring the Messiah promised by the prophets. The young man at the back of the bus sang the words of Silent Night from memory. He had obviously sung those words many times, but he did not just sing them. He let them sink deep into his heart. And he had come to know that the holy infant so tender and mild that he sang about was with him in spirit, alive and real. He knew that the baby Jesus he celebrated on Christmas was only just the beginning. By cultivating a solitude of the heart with God, each grew alert for divine surprise. Their only certainty that the one and only loving God was with them, cared for them, looked out for them. Such certainty gave birth to hope, hope in and longing for the good that God would grace them with. That hope took shape in the person of Jesus Christ, God in flesh, who came to offer salvation and liberation. And that hope sustained them, offering a peace and joy that graced their lives. Second, each of these experienced a life with God in community. Simeon lived in Jerusalem, outside the temple. We're not told what kind of active life he lived. He certainly had to work in some way to provide for his needs, but we're told he came into the temple. There, his life alone with God became richer and fuller as he gathered and worshiped with God's people. He grew in the grace of God by giving and receiving grace with others. Anna, we're told, never left the temple. She gave much of her life to God's people gathered. Her worship of God with fasting and prayer included fasting and praying together with God's people. The young man on the bus was also part of a community. He interacted with other developmentally challenged friends on the bus. Nurtured by love and trust, he could gently and firmly respond to the scolding he got from the woman who tried to stop his singing Silent Night on the day after Christmas. Simeon, Anna, a developmentally challenged young man. Each cultivated a rich life with God in solitude, and each fleshed out and enriched that life with God in community. Longing, openness, and trust honed a sharpened awareness toward an inbreak of the divine. These three cultivated alertness to God's surprise, the coming of the Messiah in flesh, a tiny babe becoming life-giving Savior. Tomorrow we enter a new year. Our own singing of Silent Night while lighting candles at the end of our Christmas program last Sunday night is only a memory now, but Christmas is only just the beginning. We live in an ongoing light and presence of Christ. As we open our lives to receive him, we experience Jesus as Simeon, Anna, and the young man on the bus did, as our salvation, our light, and our glory, as our Redeemer, as the one whose birth at Christmas is only just the beginning. Let us take our clues from these three as we enter a new year. Let us nurture our awareness with God, both in solitude and in community. We can cultivate awareness of God and fleshed in Jesus in a few quiet moments alone as the day begins, rising a few minutes earlier, turning the car radio off, pausing at desk or work table before starting the day's tasks. Our awareness of God, offering love and relationship, will deepen as we gather regularly with other God seekers, giving ourselves in worship together in praise, prayer, in silence, in listening, and responding. We can take our clue also from the sunflower. The sunflower lifts and turns its face always toward the sun. As the sun moves, so does the sunflower's face. When we align our faces and our hearts toward God's sun, we see Simeon, we, like Simeon, Anna, and the young man on the bus, will become more and more alert to God's surprises. Our faces and our hearts will turn to follow Jesus, Son of God, as he moves to bring light and power and peace into a dark and violent world. And with sun-brightened faces and God's sun alive in our hearts, we will stream rays of love, joy, and peace into our very troubled world. Amen.